Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. Yes, the season's not started. We've had a couple of weeks off. Can you blame us? But we're back. Chris and I are back. Chris, good evening, mate. How are we doing?
Good evening, Simon. Thank you for letting me use your yacht for 2 weeks in Monaco. It was lovely.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it, mate. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I've had many good times on that yacht, I'm telling you now.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful. And I've put the towels back on the towel rack where you wanted me to, you know, with your with the initials facing the actual the door rather than facing away so you can't see that you have your own signatured towels on your yacht in Monaco.
Thanks. Have you made sure that when you put the toilet roll back on, it's got a nice little triangle point at the end of it like they do in the military?
I tell you what, I've used some toilet roll, Simon, but wow, that was incredible. I was reluctant to leave the throne. It was good.
Oh, dear, what a start to the show, eh?
There you go.
So now, obviously, you know, it's one of them things, the off-season, and I have seen a couple, obviously, of the Derby podcast putting out stuff regarding, obviously, transfer rumours. We're not going to do that today because I don't really want to waffle on about bollocks that could be true, could be false. About players I don't really know anything about or know a great deal about yet, because at the end of the day, the window's not open until the 16th of July, is it, Chris? Is that right?
June. 16th of June.
16th of June, sorry. What can I say? I'm a month ahead. And I just think there's no point talking about rumours at this moment in time. And to be honest, the ones we've been linked with are all free transfers. Yet we've been told we've got a budget. So, and weirdly enough, we are 7-4 on now to win the league. Now, this brings me on to the point of the podcast. For the past 10 years, it's a decade now, since Nigel Clough was sacked, Steve McLaren came in, took us to Wembley and, well, failed. And then he went, okay, we'll do it again next season. Got us top of the league and then failed. He then disappeared to Newcastle. And we brought in Paul Clement, a manager that never managed before, an assistant coach at Real Madrid. So all sounded well. And he got sacked halfway through the season. Was it just after halfway?
February.
And then Darren Wassell took over and failed after getting us to the semi-finals and playoffs. Off he went. Nigel Pearson came in, got sacked after a couple of months. In came McLaren, got sacked. In came Gary Rowett, who was 18 months in charge, went and left to Stoke. In came Frank Lampard. Oh, by the way, Gary Rowett failed in the playoffs. Frank Lampard failed in the playoffs. Left. Philip Cocu came in. Left after failing to get into the playoffs in his first season and then failing to get us out of the bottom three in his second season. Wayne Rooney took charge, got us relegated. Obviously, there was things behind it. But my point being is, for the past 10 seasons, we've got in high hopes. High hopes of getting promoted to the Premier League, and we are now in League One. My fear, Christopher, is are we at risk of going through the same thing again, of trying to get into the Championship? Because we were favourites on most of them seasons. We had, you know, I've been perusing YouTube videos of Derby County. I think we've got someone called that Derby Goals is his username. There's loads of different goals from seasons, different players. And I'm thinking, looking back, going, how did we fail? Chris, have you got any answers? Because I staggered. I really, there is obviously things we can discuss and we'll talk about. But And for me, looking back at the past 10 years, how have we gone from maybe promotion favourites to, well, League One?
How long we got on this podcast, Simon?
As long as you want, friend. Yeah, as long as you want.
As each individual season you've just mentioned, I don't want to go into each of them individually, except for a couple. So
yeah,
I can certainly talk about Paul Clement. Now, I was a fan of Paul Clement. I thought he did it the right way. We developed a style from the start, and we were gently just going about our business. Weren't getting beat, weren't winning games, weren't getting beat. We were getting regular draws, a lot of clean sheets. And then it just started to click. We used to get the 1-0s, the 2-1s. And come Christmas time, if I remember rightly, we were top of the league. And then we lost Chris Martin to injury, if you remember. And I think it was at Bournemouth. In fact, I'm sure it was at Bournemouth.
Didn't we lose him the season before as well?
Yes.
If I remember rightly, we lost him to injury and we brought in Darren Bent, didn't we?
Yes.
Comments.
And we lost Chris Martin again around, it was a Bournemouth game, it was on telly, and we never replaced him. Mel never put his hands in at the time, so-called deep pockets, and subsequently, Clement lost his job. I think he got sacked when he was fifth, which was ludicrous.
It was pretty much we had a 1-1 draw, I think it was, against
Reading at home, wasn't
Reading at home, wasn't it? Yeah.
Infamously did his rant in the changing room.
And we can actually say that's not a rumour anymore because Darren Bent confirmed it the other week.
Correct. And I just felt sorry for Paul Clement because I think the jigsaw piece that unfortunately got injured was a huge one that was very much the pin of the rest of the team. It was everything went through Chris Martin and we never replaced him. And subsequently, we came short. Go to the general question. I just think that we've stopped the ship, pulled apart the ship, and started a sail again with a new ship. And there's been no... Nigel Clough nearly got it right, didn't he? He built a team up from when he came in 2009, I believe. Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And by the time he left and McLaren took over, although it was a poor start in 2013, the actual core of the team was Nigel's. And it was a very good team on paper. McLaren found the best out of them.
Yeah, and I was going to say that. I think Nigel had built a team, hadn't he, over the years. He just couldn't quite get him to click the way he wanted him to, or the way that he sort of, you know, we felt that they could. And then obviously, I mean, let's look at that team. You know, Lee Grant in goal, he came in. Chris Martin came in. Johnny Russell, Forsyth, Eustace. I think Lee Naylor, another one, was a bit of an out edge of the player, wasn't he? He wasn't really sort of didn't really play much, did he? Adam Smith played right back, didn't he? If I remember wrong, he came in on loan. He's at Bournemouth now, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Zach Whitbread, he came in on loan. Simon Dawkins came in on loan, or actually, I think McLaren brought him in, didn't he? Michael Keane came on loan as well, didn't he, that season?
He did. Keogh.
No, I think we signed Keogh the season before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, the squad, you know, I mean, like you say, the squad, it wasn't, you look at it and you go, it's not that, you know, it doesn't look special if you just looked at the names, you know what I mean? You know, you know, people would go, who's Craig Bryson? Obviously, he came in 2011, but Jeff Hendrick obviously came through as well from the academy, and Will Hughes as well. But you look at it and you go, there's no like big names in there, big superstars.
No, but there's good pegs in the right holes, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. There was the right players, you know, in the right holes, and it was just about finding the formation and the system that suited him. And obviously, you know, Cluffy, he got sacked, didn't he? After it was the 1-0 loss against Forest, weren't it?
Yes, it was. Was it October, November time, wasn't it? Because the first game...
It was September.
Well, it was Ipswich at home. We played... It was infamous 4-1 down at half-time.
Yeah, that was the one we lost. Yeah.
So we came back to draw 4-4.
Yeah,
McLaren's unofficial first game. He wasn't actually in charge, was he?
No. But I mean,
down.
Cloughy played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So Cloughy had 9 games in charge. He won 3, drew 2, and lost 4. And obviously, you know, they must have had sort of, I still believe they had something in the background going, thinking, I don't think Nigel's the one to take us forward. Now, bearing in mind, we spanked Millwall away from home under Cloughy, 5-1, the Bryson's first hat-trick, weren't it, that?
Incredible. Best hat-trick I've ever seen.
It was, yeah, it's an absolute worldy strikes.
Yeah, ridiculous.
But yeah, obviously, McLaren came in, did his thing. Like you say, yeah, 4-4. That Ipswich game was incredible. I've never seen a team look so different in the second half of the game. Then he went and battered Leeds, beat Watford away. I think Connor Salmon got a last-minute winner, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that season's very similar to what Sheffield Wednesday had this year, in the sense that we were just unlucky of the fact that two teams were slightly better than us. Because any other season, that team and the points that we got together would have got us promotion, I think, certainly either side, 2 years either side, if I remember rightly, looking at it. Because he brought in Patrick Bamford, didn't he? And then...
Yeah, he brought Bamford in, he brought Thorne in, he brought... was it Khalifa Cisse? He was shocking.
Yeah, I can't even remember him.
He didn't really play much. He did sort of tinker a little bit, like say bringing in the likes of Bamford, etc. But I think what and Andre Wisdom as well, brought in Wisdom, if you remember, right back
on loan.
But I think you look at that team and you go, well, you know, if someone was injured, we had a like for like replacement, kind of. Like, obviously, I think if Jamie Ward got injured, which was unfortunately one of the many things he did, you'd have Bamford come in and play on the wing. So we always seemed to, we had quite a good depth of squad, and I think the replacements were just as good as the players that they were would be to replace. So, but obviously, I think I agree with you. I think there was just two teams better than us with it. Obviously, Burnley and Leicester that season. We had what, 85 points? I think we finished on that season.
Yeah, and in that generation, 85 points was. Bear in mind, this is the Championship, not League One or League Two. This is the Championship. That would have got you promotion any other year.
Yeah.
But I think going forward from that, Simon, you look at the teams after that. That particular team was pretty much broken up, wasn't it? You know, the writing was on the wall where certain big players went, and they were never replaced with like for likes. They were replaced with very cheap parts. It's like taking a BMW, taking off some original BMW brakes and then replace them with some brakes from a side street garage that look the same and will perform the same for the first 3 or 4 months, and then eventually they fall apart. And I just think that over time that happened with the team, and then you get to the era of Cocu where it was a completely different 11, wasn't it? You could even say that about Rowett with the likes of Vidra and Cameron Jerome and Chris Baird. And It was just never, those replacements never given. And then the final one you mentioned, well, we won't go into the Rooney era because we've spoke about that in the past, but Lampard was just a joke, wasn't it? He was given a pot of loan cash to go into a sweet shop, chose some incredible players, on the day played some incredible football, but they were never managed properly. They were never coached. They were just let loose out there, and we scraped over the line, and we now know 4 or 5 years from that, how poor a manager he actually was. Now, you could say to yourself that a squad that he did have in place for that year under a decent coach and a decent manager would have, should have, and could have won that league or certainly got promoted. But I just thought that Lampard's tactics were, pardon my French, piss poor. And he proved that in the final.
Well, yeah. I mean, that... I felt, you know, with that, the squad, obviously, when we first had it, you got to think about that squad really was a mixture of McLaren, Clement, Rowett, and Pearson. Did Pearson, I think all Pearson signs were gone by then. But it had a mixture. And then obviously, you know, we had a massive squad, to be honest.
Well, again, though, we lost... Go on, sorry.
But we, you know, but I look at it and we were swapping Carson and Ruse round because Lampard wanted a keeper that could play out with his feet. So you would have thought, well, again, that's a coaching thing where you go, well, I haven't got really two keepers that can play out with their feet, so I might have to change it, you know, tact a little bit. Obviously, we had Scott Carson, you know, who had a blinding season the season before. You know, defensively wise, again, I think Wisdom was still there. Forsyth was there. Keo still there. Ashley Cole obviously came in.
Tomori,
Davis, Bogle. Obviously, Bogle had his season.
Bogle was the best player in the league that year, for my opinion.
Without doubt.
For a like-for-like player in his position, it was incredible that it was his first season.
Yeah.
He was unplayable. He was incredible.
He took his chance when he got it, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. But one thing we've got to remember with that season as well, and we digress slightly, is that you're quite right. There was a clash of personalities between Shea Given and Carson. And Carson got the boot, and we brought in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a big personality clash, wasn't there?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, egos. Apparently, that's all I've heard. But you've got to remember, both of them international keepers, and one international keeper was trying to coach the other. And obviously, whether Carson thought that he was above that, who knows? Or he felt that him and Shea were at the same level. It's a very difficult one, that is, to have Shea Given coach a keeper who he probably played against at Premiership level.
Yeah.
It must be quite weird in professional football in general when that happens. And then you lost Mason Mount for 10 games.
That was a blow, yeah.
Which was a blow. And then he messed around with the forward line.
Mm.
And again, it comes down to Jack Marriott and his attitude or whether he was just a fan of Mason Bennett and he was told to play him as often as possible because Mel obviously thought he was going to get a massive fee for Mason Bennett because at the time he was a freak of nature, wasn't he? And ultimately, the freak of nature fell apart physically.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is it. You mentioned obviously the front line there. It was weird because I think you had Nugent played, I think, something like 38 games that season, yet scored twice.
Everybody loved him, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I never really understood it. He played Waghorn for some reason out wide, yet he seemed to play and perform a lot better when he was played down the middle. Then you had Marriott. So we had three strikers there that, you know, you couldn't really interchange. They all wanted to play down the middle. So I think, you know, I don't know. I think there was too much up top there. Nugent, for me, like I said, he had a great season the season before, but he could not do what Lampard wanted him to do, really, let's be honest. And I think, yeah, you know, the players were there. I think we had a lot of quality in that side. Like, look at Harry Wilson, Mason Mount, Lawrence on his day. Again, I think that midfield, when Wilson, Mount and Lawrence were on it, no defence could handle them at all because they were interchangeable.
But we all said, Simon, on that year, we missed someone with that Bryson, Shiniesta.
Well, we had Bryson playing for us. He played 32 times, but obviously
he wasn't the player he was, though, was he?
What, 5 years before, no?
Yeah, and I just thought that we're always missing that final piece. But I still go back to the coaching. I think the coaching was absolutely naive. Sometimes it paid off and everyone thought it was a masterstroke, like when we went to Norwich away. Yeah. But then they look at Villa away when we got absolutely... He made a load of changes, didn't he? And got absolutely pasted.
Yeah, he played a lot of the young lads to sort of prove a point to the senior players that they need to step up the game.
And you just think to yourself, really?
Mm.
You know, what kind of message is that sending? But go back to the original question. It was all we've put together teams and we've broken up teams. And we've never kept a consistency of recruitment. Mm. And Alex Ferguson was an absolute general at this, wasn't he? Where over the 20-year stint he was in charge, however long it was, he slowly replaced the aging players, didn't he, piece by piece.
Yeah.
You know, you likes of, I'm thinking, up top, Brian McClair and you know, going back to the original, Mark Robbins and, you know, the original crew that got him... his first title Stevie Bruce, etc. And he replaced them, didn't he? Bit by bit, he brought in Giggs, he brought in Scholes. And then for 10 or 12 years, he never really diverged from that. He just stayed to that, what he knew. You know, one player would come out and he would chuck a player in. Derby County would have a squad of 18 one year that was completely unfamiliar pretty much the next. And yeah. we all know now why, don't we?
Yeah.
It was Mel trying to put money back in his pocket. Mm. You could also go down a line of ridiculous signings like Jacob Butterfield and Ikechianya, and you know, but we're not going to go there because everyone spoke about that in the past. But I think, answering your question, there's been too much destruction at the end of each season and not enough consistency of generating. And it goes down to the academy, doesn't it, Simon? We have this philosophy of the academy of we'll drip in players. And let's be honest, it's been a failure. It's been a failure. And I don't blame that on anyone who coaches in that team. I think Pat Lyons is an incredible coach. I love Pat to bits. He's a great coach. He's brought on some wonderful players who never got their chance.
Mm.
They were never given the opportunity at the right time to play.
Well, who's that lad at Preston that had an absolute storming season? I can't remember his name now. But he come from us, from our academy.
Yeah, the Danish lad.
Yeah, he's Swedish or Danish or something like that. But yeah, I can't remember his name. But
And I really felt sorry for Pat at the time because he was producing some great players. Cade Gordon, for instance. Just players who were ready at that time. But for some reason, Mel Morris wanted to pay £6 million for Ikechianya.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jacob Butterfield for ridiculous money. And there's others that no doubt I've missed. And I just think that was the prime time to bring in the academy players. Because that was only 5-6 years ago, Simon. They would be in their prime now. They'd be 23, 24 years old. Lo and behold, he then goes and puts pressure on Pat and Darren to start bringing academy players through this last two or three years.
Because
he's got no money, let's be honest.
Yeah,
He's Brazic, and he's thinking of any way he can to either make money or keep the team surviving. And that was completely unfair on Pat and Darren because the structure was in place 2 years, 3 years prior that when it should have been tapped into.
Yeah.
But by then it became desperation and those decent academy players were released, wasn't they?
Hmm.
They were sold for, you know, I look at Luke Thomas. That's another one that I thought had a career with Derby. So I just think that the academy wasn't used correctly. Nothing at all to do with Pat Lyons or Darren Wassell. Great guys, great coaches. The structure below there was very, very good. They were winning the under-18s on a regular basis. Yeah. They were winning age groups at 15s, 14s, 16s. It was just not managed above them very well.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the academy's fault. I don't think it was John Barnes' fault. I just think that Mel Morris had this alleged philosophy of bringing the academy players through far too late. I just think it was a myth.
Yeah. It makes sense with what you're saying about, obviously, squads being ripped apart because you look at the 13-14, 14-15 season, that I think the majority of that squad stayed together. Obviously, we the lone players, for example, Thorne and Wisdom, we didn't sign. Thorne, we signed him on a permanent. He broke his, or did his knee, didn't he? Just in pre-season, which was annoying. Obviously, we brought in the likes of Shotton and Cyrus Christie just to sort of a bit more. It was to replace, I think, the younger kids like the Kieran Freemans. Saying that Kieran Freeman went on to have a decent career, let's be honest, at Sheffield United.
Good player.
And Adam Smith, another one, plays at Bournemouth now in Premier League. So, but obviously we brought in, like, again, you're bringing players like Ibe, Ince, Bent, things like that, who at the time they were all loanies, and you think, right, sound. But then I think we have to accept that Newcastle came calling for McLaren. That didn't help the situation, you know. But we move on, obviously, to the Clement era, who then that's when the money started being spent. And obviously, I think that was when Hughes and Bryson got injured. So we went out and spent a fortune, like, was it about 12 million on Johnson and Butterfield, weren't it? But again, it just adds more players in, adds more players into a squad. Players are unhappy. They've come here, they've signed a 2-3-year deal. They wanted to play, they're not playing because more players are being brought in. Another manager's come in, sacking another manager. Another one comes in, sack him, another one comes in. It's just a repeated cycle, so there isn't no consistency. But my only fear is, with you saying that, next season there won't be much of that squad, I don't think. Which is why I'm not convinced. As much as, obviously, it says 7-4 to go up, it means Paul Warne has to get his transfers and his recruitment absolutely spot on. That's players in and out. Has to be absolutely spot on. So that means players like Knight, Sibley, Bird, etc., if he doesn't think they're good enough or if they want to move, let them go. For me, I'd let them go simply because they've been here now 3-4 years. And if we could cash in on them, I'd cash in on them. Otherwise, their contracts are going to run out. They'll go for a free next season.
Yeah, I also think that the 7-4 odds, Simon, have come from, let's be honest, the three best teams last year all went up and deservedly so in the end. Although we all took the piss out of Sheffield Wednesday, didn't we, after the first leg? And even me, my good self here was having a bit of a poke at them on Twitter, and lo and behold, it come and bite us back well and truly, or bit us back well and truly. But fair play to them, they got through. But you look at the league, what's left and what's come down into that league. Blackpool in deep trouble. Wigan in deep trouble.
Wigan are on minus 8 points, aren't they?
Reading, who are still on a transfer embargo and possibly further points deductions.
Wow.
So you look at what's left and people have gone, who's the biggest team? Derby County, 7-4. Let's be honest, that's how they've done it. They can't base that, exactly what you said, they can't base that on any squad structure or recruitment because we haven't done anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, looking at it now, just looking at the teams, you'd probably say Derby, Peterborough favourites to go up.
I think Pompey. I think Portsmouth will have a say.
Don't know because they've been there for ages and they struggled to make the playoffs, let alone.
Yeah, but they never got beat. They changed their manager, I think, a bit too late. And by the time he got things going, they draw something like 6 or 7 games.
Something daft, yeah.
And then they fell short because of draws, but I think they'll be strong because their squad has been together 2 or 3 years. But, we've heard other podcasts talking about who would they sign, name 4 players, blah, blah, blah. Look, at the end of the day, there's no excuses this year, except for the fact that we've ripped up the template again that makes a good team, as we've said at the start of the pod. We're starting with pretty much a blank canvas. I'm with you, Simon. I'd personally sell Jason Knight. I'd personally sell Louis Sibley. I'd even probably look at offers for Bird. I think cashing is a debatable one. But I think there is. We need to be a sustainable football club. So we need to also still be trading out as well as trading in.
Agreed.
We can't keep all of them and bring in another 13 players. People have got to go. So I think they've all proved their worth in certain elements, but I don't think as a team structure, you can have them all in. I just don't think it's proven now under 3 managers, 4 or 5 seasons, it just doesn't work.
No.
My biggest fear, Simon, and I'll hand it over to you, is that he's going to go back to what he knows, which is ex-roller and players. People turn around and say, well, isn't that a tried system that's proven? Yes, it was proven 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But why are they being released by their current clubs? Mm. I want us to be going for players that aren't being released by their current clubs, Simon.
No, I
want to be going for players who will, like you said, will be a sensible fee, but are in their prime and playing well. Mm. Clark Harris at Peterborough.
I know.
But it'll be silly money. Well, they do it every year, don't they? They did it with Ivan Toney.
Yeah, but he's not. I think they offered him a contract, but he turned it down.
Yeah, well, they've still got 6 mil for him, something crazy.
No, I'm on about Clark Harris.
Oh, Clark Harris, yeah. Yeah.
He's got a year left, hasn't he? So he's free to offers, which you'd think, well, okay. But the thing is, though, is he gone? I think I'm better than the League One. you know. So I'm not sure. I'd like to say I'd love to have him because, you know.
I just think Peterborough isn't a fashionable club. I think sometimes players will go to a club that's trendy and fashionable. And Derby County, let's be honest, this sounds really weird, but it is a trendy club. It is a club that you could turn around. If you say, I play for Derby County, they'll go, wow, big club.
Yeah.
But if you say, I play for Peterborough United, with all due respect, it's a damp squid.
Yeah, I do have a little soft spot just because I'm a big fan of Darren McCannany, their owner. So,
yeah, yeah.
I love him. He was on Talksport the other day with Simon Jordan. Honestly, last Friday, best 3 hours of radio I've ever had listened to, mate. It's unbelievable. but yeah.
He lives in America, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But yeah, I just think I think obviously watching those videos and stuff like that, I think it's another thing as well, what Nick said about Warren needs 3, maybe 4 transfer windows. Nick Webster, obviously, who's been on the show, those who listen to us, another fan. I think he mentioned about Warren needing maybe 3, 4 windows to get his squad right. And I think it might be right. There's a reason we've given him a 4-year contract. I can't see Klaus being like Morris and going, well, we're giving you 2 years, you failed, off you go. I can't see him doing that. If Stephen Pearce was in charge, I could see that happening. But I can't see it happening with David. I generally think that he knows that this is going to take time. And we need players on 2-3 year contracts at max, but they've got to be the right age.
Well, yeah. And now the recruitment officer has been there, or the director of recruitment has been there since March. Mm. So his little black book will now be well and truly being used. And I would imagine that he was on the phone and contacting various agents and opportunities probably 2 months left of last season. And, you know, I would hope that plan A is already on a piece of paper and there is a high percentage of those targets that will hit the ground running. Personally, Simon, Lee Curtis said on the Derby Telegraph, and he said that he doesn't expect Paul Warren to do a lot of business early. I disagree. I think you'll see at least half a dozen in within the first week, possibly two.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I think if he's going to do business, it will be early because he's got to get a squad in.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to have a squad, you know. We've seen that, you know, the likes of Davis, Stearman, Chester, they've been released. McGoldrick's not signed a new deal or anything yet. He's only going to have a handful of players again.
And the squad that he inherited were all at different levels of fitness, wasn't they, Simon?
Yeah.
Like, McGoldrick didn't play for the first 10 games.
No, he didn't.
There's other players that just weren't up to speed at the early on, and I think some of them didn't come into their fittest, shall we say. Corey Smith.
I really hope we see Corey Smith in midfield this next season.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him. I do like him a lot.
Good lad. Yeah, he's a good lad. I think one person that is guaranteed coming through the door is Hayden Roberts, because his Instagram today was quite interesting, where he was playing a rap song called Future. Right. And then he was wearing the Derby shirt, because now he's been released, hasn't he, by Brighton?
Yeah.
If you look at his Instagram post now, we're talking...
Okay. Let's have a Butchers.
Have a Butchers. And what does that tell you?
Hold on, let me load it up, lad. Go on, keep talking. Don't let him sit inside. Right. Who am I looking for? Hayden Roberts.
Hayden Roberts. I think he's pretty much telling the fan base what they would like to hear. Because I think he would be...
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? He's deleted all his Instagram posts.
Yeah, yeah.
And he literally got his story of Roberts.
Yeah, and have you seen the song he's playing? It's called Future.
Future, yeah, yeah.
And he's wearing his Derby shirt. And I think that tells you all you need to know about him. I think he's basically saying...
And his... Oh, yeah, he's coming. Look at his profile picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His profile picture's with a Derby shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That Hayden Roberts is that. There you go. That we can pretty much say that's one sign that's got to come through the door. There's no way. But I think that was always on the cards. We said at the end of on our end of season show that, that we think Hayden. Well, I said I think you were a bit and ahhing, but I said I think he'd come back.
I just thought that championship clubs may go in for him.
It really made me laugh, actually, how it sounded like all these shitty little Twitter newspaper people, what, I don't even know what they are, like uni students or whatever, Football League World, all that shit, are going, oh, look at this shock transfer for Derby, thinking, oh shit. Hayden Roberts, who was always out of contract at the end of the season, and there was never any talk of him getting a new one. There's, you know what I mean? So I always knew it wasn't a big shock that he was never offered a new contract to Brighton. He's not a Premier League standard player yet. And with the way of Brighton are going, they're looking at, you know, players that are going to play European football. So he was never going to get a contract. I don't think it was a big shock, to be honest.
No, and I think you will see people... The dilemma you've got is, do you bring the people in first and then show the exit door for the people who you don't want around the club, or do you show the exit door first for people you don't want around and then bring in slowly? Because ultimately, you still need... I think one of the biggest problems you had with Derby last season was when pre-season did start, the games that they were playing non-competitively in training were against under-17 lads and... They were never ever challenged, were they, in pre-season, because there was such a fragility that they thought that, you know, we can't push these too far because we've only got 15 or 16 of them through the door, of which five of them haven't touched a ball since March.
Yeah.
And I just think the whole spectrum of the programme that we had pre-season, I think Darren Robinson also brought it up on the podcast we had with him, that the programme was set for individuals rather than a team programme.
Yeah.
So I think he'll do business quite early. And I think 16th will be Hayden Roberts. So I'm not, I always thought, I noticed some clubs are announcing signings already. Mm. But I would have thought that he would be the first one that's announced.
Yeah, without doubt. I think it wouldn't surprise me if he's got a couple of them lined up.
And I'm pretty sure they've extended Scott Loach as well, haven't they? They give him another.
Oh, have they?
I think they're going to give him another year, I've heard, because of his coaching ability. Yeah. He's a good number three to have, and he would be a very good coach for the academy. Yeah, although you've got Ross, well, they got Ross Atkins down there, who's a great coach as well.
Yeah, that's true. But, well, we'll tell you what, we're on the academy. What an embarrassment. One point they've had all season.
Yeah,
that's from where our academy was finishing. I think it was second or third in Premier League Two, only a couple of seasons ago, to finishing bottom of, it's not even the Premier League Two anymore, is it? Or whatever it is now, with one point, is,
and you had the 18s in the European in Champions League.
Yeah, it's just, it shows what, I don't know why we're keeping it as Cat A. I mentioned this on the last show. I really think Klaus needs to look at that and go, you know what, we'll do a Brentford, we'll just scrap it or whatever. Because all we're doing is buying young players in for our own academy, and then they're just getting rid of them. Look how many left in the academy.
And some of them got into the squad last year.
Did they?
Agatese.
Oh yeah, we're not. Yeah, yeah. Start. Well, in fairness, yeah.
He'd been here a while. But I think I felt so sorry for Pat, and I felt so sorry for Bucco, literally having to recruit together an academy from all age groups, pretty much from 16s through to under 21s, as they call them now, aren't they? Because they used to be 23s, now it's 21s.
Yeah.
They literally had to go into the dregs of what was left out there, like you said, to sustain a Category A. Now, no one knows the philosophy behind it. Could it have been that we were best off doing a lower category for that season, allowing Pat to do what he's good at, which is coach?
Darren Wasson must know something's going off, because why has he left after all this time?
Yeah. Well, John Barton left through administration as well. He, no doubt, he's got a good story or two to tell. But I just think that they were given an impossible target. And I feel for them. Yeah, I've spoke to a couple of the coaches at the club. And
as the saying goes, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
No. And the standard that they were recruiting that was left was not Category A. But they still coached them and gave them everything They gave them all the support that the club could give them. There's obviously a reasoning behind it, whether it's to do with funding into the club, whether it's to do with, I don't know, having a Premiership academy structure. I don't know is the honest answer, Simon. Are we saying that the Brentford model works? It certainly proves it works.
What league are they in?
Yeah, and they invested all their money into the scouting side. I think they've got one of the biggest scouting structures in the country. I was reading somewhere they have something like 30 scouts all around the world, and what they normally or used to put into the academy structure, they use for the scouting. But I will say that there is coaches there that deserve, in my opinion, opportunities in the first team anyway.
Yeah.
Pat Lyons, Richard Assel, Bucco's got good pedigree, you know. But when you bring in a new manager, what does he bring with him, Simon?
Yeah, his own coaching staff.
So, in a way, you've got a feel for the coaches I've just mentioned, because they've never been given an opportunity to step up and prove their worth. All right, Pat did it for a while with Darren, didn't they, when they caretaked. And Pat did it with Wayne Rooney for a while, didn't he? And Justin Walker. But they were given a task with one arm and one leg tied behind their back. And ultimately, it failed. Now, again, that will change this year, Simon.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a clean slate. They've got a head of recruitment. They've had, you know, let's be honest, March, April, May, June. They've had 4 months, probably 6 months.
That was quick. March, April, May, June.
of looking at the problems.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know if you actually saw them play. The younger age group got better as they went on. I think the 18s finished quite strong in the end and finished respectable mid-table. And they were struggling, but they came together quite well. The 21s, the Premier League 2 team, were just...
dire.
Yeah, and I don't blame the coach at all. I just think what was left in the pot to choose from just wasn't Category A standard. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's, as I said, I just scrap it. So, going back, obviously, to the original question, obviously, the past decade, we failed to get promoted, ended up being relegated due to, I suppose, lack of consistency with managers, lack of quality recruitment, I suppose a poor owner, if you like. I know he spent a lot of money in the first few seasons, but he gave up, didn't he, in the end? Let's be honest.
He's on the list. He's got to be on the list.
And I guess, mostly my question then to you is, last season you were adamant, we go up automatics. Well, it's just fine. And I like
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
I did take the piss, which is fair enough, but I did like the enthusiasm. It was good, you know.
You and many others, Simon. You and many others at doors.
Yeah, at doors, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't text you, actually. However, what have we got to do differently this season to make sure we at least at a minimum get playoffs?
The spine has got to be absolutely solid, reliable, consistent, dependable, creative.
Okay, so consistent with the spine, does that mean we find someone to replace McGoldrick? Because
I think I think he's gone. I think the pull of him going to his childhood club, which he has supported throughout his life. He's 36. He started his professional career there and made his name there. He always said he'd go back and play for them. They're not going to want him another year into his age. You know, if they do the unthinkable and get promotion from Division 2 to Division 1, McGoldrick ain't going to be cutting the mustard in another...
I forgot Notts County went up. Did they go up?
Yeah, beat Chesterfield. Yeah,
that was it. Yeah, it was penalties, weren't it?
Yeah, it was. But I think that you've got to look at the goalkeeper. Will Wiles Smith be number one, or do we need someone? Because he hasn't really been pushed, has he?
No, not really. I mean, it was weird with Wildsmith. When he first came, I thought, okay, it wasn't too sure. We both had our say on him. But then as the season went on, he progressed, he got better, he looked more confident, looked a good keeper. Then I still think there was times at the back end of the season when we were on a rut that his performance has dropped as well. But
well, good teams have great keepers. And I just think that at League One, you can still find a good, reliable keeper.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Luke McGee come back.
Yeah. And I think, will Wildsmith be number one? We don't know, because remember, we couldn't recruit. Now we can recruit. So I think everybody's position, bar probably one or two, is under scrutiny and under danger to be replaced. So you need two regular centre-halves, guaranteed. Absolute stalwarts, prime of the career.
You'd assume Cashin would be one, though, I generally think.
Unless someone offers you £5 million plus upwards, you've got to look at it. You've got to look at it, Simon. I'm sorry, you have.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. Maybe three, but I can't see five. But yeah. We've been rumored with Sonny Bradley, he's a centre off, isn't he?
Yeah. And they got the lad from Blackpool now being linked, another freebie. I think Sonny Bradley may be like Luton allowed him to lift the trophy up, didn't they?
Yeah.
At Wembley. And he wouldn't be a bad signing. My biggest question is, he's 32. Did we get the best out of Curtis Davis and the likes of when he came to the club at 32? I think that we need two stalwart, prime of their career centre-halves. They're out there. We've seen many in League One last season. I think you need a stalwart midfield. And I mean, people who you know will be on the, if they're fit, they're on the team sheet.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get 7 to 8 out of 10 every week with these players. Because we chop and change and chop and change all the time. And then up top, you need a guaranteed striker who will give you the same consistency week in, week out, and 25 goals. And that's your key to promotion. Peripheral players on the... well, not peripheral.
Subs.
Players either side of the spine,
yeah.
In a way, can be changed and tweaked. Hmm. But if you look at the successful teams throughout the history at Derby County, the spine has always been pretty much the same. And even to the extent of McLaren, that you look at the spine there, you had Keogh, Bucco, Eustace.
In fairness, he swapped Eustace for Thorne, but Thorne...
Yeah, Thorne, Eustace, Hughes, and Martin. Mm. What a spine. What an incredible spine. Hendry, you could even say Hendry.
That was the dilemma, weren't it? Was that midfield three? Who was it going to be? You're guaranteed to have Thorne in there. Then was it going to be Hughes and Hendrick or Hughes and Bryson? Bryson and Hendrick. That was the dilemma.
Bryson. There you go. No, yeah. Sorry, Bryson. I forgot about Bryson. But so what you see straight away, there was a spine and a consistency. Those players we've just mentioned would give you 7.5 out of 10 every week. Every week, guaranteed. That'll win you 70% of your games. They were talking about this last night on the NBA, about Miami beat Denver last night. And Denver on paper, the number one seed, and Miami a number eight seed. And the size, there's a massive size difference as well in strength and physique. But what Miami have is, we've spoke about this before, a money ball, a consistency. They use the same players pretty much within the starting five or starting six. Yeah. And then you know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah.
And I just think that last year and previous seasons, we never knew what we were going to get. We'd get to the ground, Simon. And I used to remember when I used to wait for the team sheet, now I'm in changes this week. New manager.
Remember Lampard's season?
Yeah. It was a joke.
I think it must have been about 20 games, and finally Ed Dawes was like, the team has had no changes for the first time this season.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So go back to the question. We've answered it already, haven't we? It's a spine. If you can have six players running through the middle that are there for 45 games or 46 games,
yeah,
the same six, right down the middle, giving you consistency, and you know what you're going to get with them, you'll win the league, or you'll certainly come in the top two. It's when you start messing about with that spine. Now, people are going to turn around and say, well, what about injuries? Yeah, well...
Well, yeah, we've seen that, and that's what cost us. That. But that's what cost us in 14, 15, injury to Martin. 15, 16, injury to Martin.
The difference is we now have a fresh impetus, a lesser quality league to recruit into. I still think as a club, we can and will recruit players from the Championship to come down to us. I think we're that attractive.
I wouldn't be surprised if we looked at Scotland, Ireland.
Yeah. Scandinavia.
Yeah. I can see us. I can't see it just be, as you said, because that's what it feels like. The recruitment side over the seasons we failed was supposedly top Championship players like the Butterfields, the Johnsons have been there, the Incers, you know, the people like that, they've been there, done it, seen them before, but none of them have actually achieved anything.
No.
Do you know what I mean? But the case in point was Nick Blackman. Remember the signing, Nick Blackman?
Oh, God, that's one.
He had a purple patch for Reading.
Yeah, 13 and 14.
Up front, striker. Yeah. We brought him in on a whim and a prayer.
Oh, in January.
Because Mel Morris went, or whoever was doing the scouting, Mel Morris' son, went, he's good, let's bring him in. And we brought him in, and where did we put him?
It was terrible.
Right wing.
It was terrible.
Oh, absolutely awful.
But you're right. But you're right. But I'll put money on it now. Paul Warne will be looking at his spine first. He won't sign. If he signs Hayden Roberts, that's consistency. He knows what he's going to get with Hayden. And he was probably one of the bright sparks towards the end of the season. He got better and better, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he likes playing for Warne. I think he likes the style of play because he's... Although he's been playing left back or left wing back, he's got the energy to do that.
Yeah.
So if he's quite happy converting from a centre back, which I think, I know people would hate him for saying this, but I think he might be a little bit too small. But I think he doesn't mind. You know, I do think he's too small to be a centre back, and I just think he'll do well as a. As a left wing back or left back, whichever way it goes. But yeah, no recruitment then. So that's what we're saying at this moment in time. Then we need to get the recruitment and the spine of the team spot on for us to think about getting promotion. And obviously, I think that as well bodes well for the next season. We get a spine that's decent in this league going up into the Championship. If you've still got that spine, then that's going to help massively to stay in the league.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at Plymouth and Ipswich, their central element of their team, I'd love to know, we're not Statos, but I put pound on it that their players, goalkeeper, two centre-halves, centre-midfielder, centre-forward, played over 40 games.
Yeah.
Consistently for probably the last couple of years.
Yeah, and when you look at Ipswich, Ipswich took time to get it right. They were basically the Derby of League One, let's be honest, spending money. And they got it right eventually. I think they finally worked out the formula, what they needed. And again, it was having that spine, having that consistency. And they were the best team in the league by far.
Yeah. So I think, my final point on this before we wrap it up, I think that you will see the recruitment, the first players coming in, will be the very strong. I think they'll be very strong, and I think there'll be statement signings. I think you'll see why they're... As soon as you see the name, you may not recognise the name, but then all of a sudden, you go into their pedigree and background and go, oh, we played 44 times last year, and the year before we played 43, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it makes sense.
Well, bring on the 16th. That's all I can say. 2 weeks in it, 2 weeks on Friday.
Yes, looking forward to it, mate.
If it's going to be, but you have to keep me updated. You know.
my ear is to the ground. So
jolly good.
Any news, I'll let you know. And you have an ear to the ground as well.
Maybe have a couple.
But no, it was good to catch up, mate. And let's do another show in a few weeks' time, and when we've had a few more bods in the through the door, and let's see where their bods fit onto that 11th sheet.
I'm looking forward to it. To be honest, I've got my season ticket now. That's all been ordered. Me and the family have all got season tickets. So I'm looking forward to next season now. And I can't wait. I generally enjoyed last season. Really enjoyed last season. I think it was a change of pace, change of grounds, change of teams. And I just think if we get promoted this season, great, fantastic. If we don't, it's just all part of the process. I do personally agree with Nick that it might just take a couple of seasons just to get the right squad in, get the right fit and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, the final thing I'll say on it is how many, yeah, we'll leave it at this, but I'll say how many tweaks will Paul Warren have to do to take a team that finished seventh to finish first or second?
Exactly, not many.
Exactly, and I'll leave it at that because for the listeners out there, think about it. How many tweaks does this football club need to go from seventh to top two?
A creative midfielder would be a start.
There you go.
See, I think we need someone that's going to create chances for our strikers to put away. But yeah, Chris, thank you for your time tonight. You go enjoy your basketball game.
Yeah, I'm off to play Summer League in Nottingham and hit some threes.
Oh, he's not just the referee. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Remember to like, share and subscribe. Chris and I will be back again, hopefully after the 16th. Hopefully we can talk about some new players that have come in. But yeah, until then, guys, we'll see you soon. And as always, come on, Derby.